air debate on the proposed Nestle water bottling plant at the city of Cascade Locks between the city administration, which has pushed for the Nestle facility there, and two members of the local Water Alliance, which is opposed to it. At 9 on Political Perspectives, host Doug McVeigh speaks with Molly Gill, Government Affairs Counsel for Families Against Mandatory Minimums. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, it's The Bike Show, bringing you news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support and for supporting this beautiful community radio. If you're not a member, you can become one today by going to kboo.fm, kboo.fm, and click donate today.
And stay tuned now for the KBOO in-depth report from Doug McVeigh about the end of solitary confinement in California.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
California Department of Corrections announced today that it has reached a landmark agreement to end unlimited long-term solitary confinement throughout the California prison system. The agreement, which still has to be approved by the court, was the result of a class action suit filed by prisoners in the Pelican Bay Penitentiary. When the suit was filed in 2012, more than 500 prisoners had been isolated for more than 10 years in the Security Housing Unit, or SHU, at Pelican Bay. 78 of those prisoners had been in the SHU for more than 20 years. Satawa Natamba Jama is one of those prisoners. He's been held in solitary confinement in that unit at Pelican Bay for 25 years. Here, he describes life.
Physical harm, no. Mental harm, deprivation, yes. It was the embryonic stages of that here at Pelican Bay. But you have to realize that myself and other prisoners had already been in the hole 10, 20 years. And when you put a person in this kind of structural environment that exacerbate even worse under the species that this is a normal shoe setting, it's not. This is a behavior modification, psychological, low intensity warfare against the mind of a human being. That's what exists here at Pelican Bay.
That was Satawa Natamba Jama, one of the people held in solitary confinement at California's Pelican Bay Penitentiary. He was one of the plaintiffs in a class action suit against the California Department of Corrections. This is not the first lawsuit to challenge California's use of solitary confinement. A federal class action suit filed in 1995, Madrid versus Gomez, ended in 2011. The court in that case ordered that seriously mentally ill prisoners were to no longer be held in solitary confinement. U.S. District Court Judge Thelton Henderson stopped short of finding that California's solitary confinement was unconstitutional, cruel and unusual punishment, in his ruling in the Madrid case. This new class action suit was brought by prisoners in 2012, who were joined by the Center for Constitutional Rights and by the organization Legal Services for Prisoners with Children. I spoke with Carol Strickman, a staff attorney with Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, to find out more about this new agreement and the lawsuit that brought it about.
Well, we have currently in California a system of indeterminate solitary confinement, which means people can be placed in these very harsh cells with little human contact and never get out, essentially. And this agreement, we should change that. The Department of Corrections has agreed that it will no longer place people in solitary confinement based on their status or alleged status as a gang member, and they will only place people in solitary confinement if they have been found guilty at a due process hearing of what is called SHU-eligible behavior, a serious prison misconduct. And that should result in the release from the SHU, which is the security housing units, of hundreds of prisoners who are there only because of their alleged association and not because of anything they did.
Now, when you say indeterminate, these secure housing units or SHUs, how long have prisoners been in solitary in these SHUs?
Well, we filed the case on behalf of 10 individuals who'd been there 10 years or more, some of whom 20 years or more. We converted it into a class action, and members of our class, some of them have been in solitary for 30 years or more. So it can be quite a long time.
And that, again, is the time they've been in solitary, not simply the time that they've been in prison. And the suit is to get them basically to get them out of the secure housing unit and into general population?
That's right. And in this instance, the majority of people who will be released from the SHU will be going to a high security general population, not dramatically better than their present conditions, but significantly better. And, so that's the step.
Could you speak for a moment about some of the problems that arise from this long-term incarceration within these secure units, in this solitary confinement, some of the physical as well as mental issues which arise?
We had mental health and neurologists and other experts provide written expert reports about this. People in prolonged solitary confinement suffer greatly. They can become depressed, hopeless. They withdraw. Sometimes they self-harm. They can get very angry, but they know they can't display that. They have to hold it back in. They can have sleeplessness. They end up, many of them, in a situation that's been described as social death. They kind of lose a sense of who they are in relation to anything else in the world, because they're not really in the world anymore. They see themselves as basically buried alive or in a tomb, And it's very severe. And even when they get out, it's like a post-traumatic stress disorder type of thing, where they continue to have these this mental harm manifest itself. People get out and they have a very difficult time functioning in society, and they withdraw.
Given the name of your organization, could you speak for a moment also about the impact on families that the people who are on the outside, who are waiting for their loved ones to finish their prison terms?
Yes. Prisoners, people tend to forget. Prisoners are part of families. They are, fathers and mothers. They're, sons and their grandfathers and uncles and aunts and so on. And the prisoners have families that they want to return to, and that the families, want them home. Solitary confinement does not allow for contact visits, which means if there are visits, it's behind glass and through a telephone. and some people have had, you know, the no ability to touch, have loving touch with other people for decades, and it's extremely difficult for everyone. It's hard for children to not be able to touch their relatives, and it's hard for everybody on the outside. The families feel that they're being punished too, that they're in prison too. And a lot of these prisons are at quite a distance. Pelican Bay in particular is, you know, near Oregon, which is as far as you can get pretty much from the population in the southern part of California. So people are 14-hour drive away. It's expensive, and so on. So it has a terrible impact on families. Families drift away. You know, they don't really get phone calls at all either. They get phone calls only in an emergency, and they find they don't even recognize each other's voices anymore. So it's very devastating to families.
Now, do you know what are other states? Do other states have this indeterminate, unlimited solitary confinement?
Well, you know, I'm not really an expert on other states. I think California was the only state that would place you in indeterminate solitary for membership or affiliation with a prison gang. That I think we're an outlier as far as that goes. Other prison systems have something similar, but for a smaller group of people. You certainly hear about someone who's considered a serious escape risk or has had a lot of violence in prison. But I don't think that that there's anything that's anywhere else like California.
Well, congratulations again on the agreement. Presuming, of course, it gets approved. How long before the hundreds of the thousand plus prisoners who are in these units? How long before they're no longer in the solitary?
Well, there's the agreement gives like a 1-year deadline for the prison system to go through and review everybody individually. There will be an individual assessment, but the basic rule is that if someone has not had a serious rules violation that would make them eligible for this confinement, they should be released from the SHU. But that has to be determined, and there's a few other things they have to look at. We do expect these reviews to start pretty soon. In some ways, they may have already started, but and they should be completed within the year, we believe. Well, we're making the point that this, while it's a great legal victory, 2 points. One is it's really just a step towards the transformation of the prison system. This is just one piece of the picture. And secondly, that we wouldn't have gotten this far but for the prisoners themselves who engaged in a very life-threatening, dramatic, and peaceful hunger strikes in 2011 and 2013 that really brought the issue to the forefront of the consciousness of people, and that has helped change the climate in which kind of allowed this settlement to occur. So it wasn't in a vacuum, but it was a part of a prisoner rights movement that the prisoners initiated.
Did any of these prisoners suffer retribution or other consequences from the prison authorities for standing up, for asserting their rights, for suing the system?
Well, there have been a number of reports to us of actions. You know, people were getting write-ups that were not justified. There's, you know, they hear things that sound like there could be threats and so on. So there have been some things that have happened. The agreement does have a clause that there will be no retaliation to them or anyone who's participated in this or, part of our class. So we're hopeful that that will provide some level of protection. And we do have a 2-year monitoring period with the assistance of the magistrate judge who's been involved with the case. So we attorneys will be continued to be involved during this monitoring period and be looking very carefully to make sure nothing like that happens.
Well, thank you once again. I've been speaking with Carol Strickman. She's a staff attorney for Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, which is based out of San Francisco. Ms. Strickman, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye. Again, an agreement was reached today in California in the suit Asker versus Governor of California, which essentially will end California prison system's policy of unlimited, indeterminate, solitary confinement of people in their prison systems. This is Doug McVeigh with KBOO News.
And you are listening to KBOO Community Radio, KBOO Portland. The time is just about 6 o'clock, and you are listening to Public Affairs here on Tuesday afternoon. Queer Public Affairs coming right up, an interview with Mel Wells. And you'll hear all that and more. Also, This Way Out tonight at 6:30, coming right your way.
Is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services.